Oh, hi there. It's me, Corval, today. Like usual on Thursdays, I got Mikey, I got Justin Bibas, and today we're going to be talking about Prison Buddies. We're going to be talking about SCI. I don't really know anything about it, but, you know, I know Mikey does. We're going to talk about regulatory rumble. We're going to talk about all this regulation flying around, and I want to check in with Bibas, see what's going on. I hear there's a migration or something, but yeah. Guys, it's going to be a great show. We're going to be reading personal diary entries, so let's get started.
They take your money, then they take you down with them. Let's do better together. ERN, extremely resilient, naturally.
Hello, guys. It's me, Corval, here. Today's show would not be possible without our sponsor, Shimmer Network. Just as a reminder, Shimmer is a DAG-based feeless layer 1 network that's both fast and highly scalable. You can learn more about them at shimmer.network. Hey guys, sorry if I was a little distracted during that opener. I had a bit of a troubling news item cross my desk.
Okay.
How does it do with SHIB? You heard of this thing?
Oh, the SHIBarium. Yes, I've heard of the SHIBarium and the related catastrophe.
What's the SHIBarium?
You tell me, Mikey. I know you're a big SHIB dog.
What was that? Was that a knife?
Tell me now, dude.
How are you guys feeling about your SHIB bags right now?
I didn't know I had one.
Oh, don't tell me you don't have SHIB bags.
Yeah, should I? Are we going to the moon, baby?
Did you book
a flight to the moon without me?
The moon's already happened. But The SHIBarium, which has been under construction for a while now, did go live yesterday. Wow. Shiba Inu tokens, for those that don't know SHIB. Shiba Inu tokens, new chain. Bibas, it sounds like you already know how the launch went. Corval, do you know what happened?
I don't really. I just saw that something bad happened, but I can guess.
Not a lot of good things happened. People were very upset. People were claiming that their bridged ETH was gone. Many people came with their bones and their ETH, and they broke it. They broke the chain.
Did they break the chain? I don't think they broke the chain.
That's what a statement from Shaitoshi.
All those fucking pedestrians trying to cross the bridge broke the bridge.
It's all their fault.
So all of these, crypto sleuths, blockchain sleuths, blockchain watchers that are saying that it was, you know, just lack of, you know, devs totally fucked up. Shaitoshi came out, the lead dev CEO.
I'm liking the sound of this.
Of the SHIBarium. He came out and said, there is nothing to fear. There is no bridge issue. It's all of your fault. There was too many people using the network.
Wow. Wait, it's fully broken though, right?
Yeah, like, is it completely unusable, Mikey?
It looks like Shibtoshi might have landed on Mikey and annihilated his network connection. So yeah, I guess long story short, from my understanding, this happened yesterday evening. It came up in, like, the security feeds. Basically, the Shiba chain accidentally locked a ton of ETH in a bridge because the network went down and it couldn't generate a valid signature to unlock the bridge. Just absolutely fabulous work on their end. Why do dog coins need active development is what I'm wondering. I feel like it's just like a net negative at this point.
Yeah, I thought they were supposed to be just fun little jokes. Literally like a meme, right? Like you just be
comfortable with your little dog, you know? You don't need the dog wallet. It's never going to be as good as literally any other thing that anybody else. Dude,
Elon Musk, dude, he's going to integrate it. He's going to be the number one system used to buy Tesla points so that you can travel further.
You can use it to go to space. You can use it to dig a hole.
Yeah, you're going to be using Doge to get your oxygen canisters on Mars. If you run out, you know.
That's awesome.
They turn you into oxygen. But yeah, 1.7 million ETH, which I consider a valuable token, Ethereum, gone.
1.7 million ETH or $1.7
million? $1.7
million,
my bad. Yeah, no, that would be a shitload more.
I'm back. Yeah. What are you guys talking
about? Ultrasound money, more ETH off the market. You know, it seems like,
Polkadot looks fun. Hey, to be fair, at the beginning, Pulse was having a little bit of trouble, but
much like the Shibarium.
Mikey, how are you feeling about this?
Shaitoshi said everything's fine. There's nothing to worry about. They just need more time to scale.
And so the $1.7 million is locked forever?
The age old adage, if you build it, they will come, but not too many, please. We are not ready.
Yep. I've heard that many a time. Oh, yeah. Amazing. Yeah. All right. That's enough about the Shibarium.
I remember hearing that from Mikey before the show. All right. So I've got some news here. You guys might have heard this. Coinbase finally won their approval to list crypto futures in the U.S. It's a big deal for Coinbase. Coinbase just keeps racking up W after W after W here is what it seems like to me. It's the first platform to offer regulated leveraged crypto futures in the U.S. I didn't fact check that at all. It's what the article said right here in the subtitle. So I think that's right. How do you feel about this, Beebus? You think that's good? You think this is a continuing the bull trend here?
Yeah. I mean, I think it seems like with the SEC kind of being the bad cop, Coinbase is really buddying up with the CFTC, who are the Bitcoin is a commodity, digital assets are commodities guys, which are the cool guys. And that's kind of who everybody in the industry builds for. We build to suit the requirements of the CFTC and skirt the requirements of the SEC. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool. It's honestly probably a net negative because it's going to be fewer people buying spot or selling spot. It's kind of like almost a synthetic position from my understanding. I'll have to read it deeper.
I got a question here. So from my understanding, the general trend is futures markets, options markets, all these things, they kind of provide a lot more stability, like reduce volatility in pricing because you have all these ways to, you know, reduce your exposure to volatility.
That's true.
This might be the beginning of the end, I guess, really, for any kind of like crazy bull market to ever happen again. Like, we're not going to maybe not see another 10,000% increase if, you know.
I mean, I think like there still is the problem of centralization being, you know, Binance has a ton of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Justin Sun's camp has a ton of Bitcoin. You know, Sailor has a ton of Bitcoin. So, you know, if people wanted to pump, there is still the potential for market manipulation. even if it is kind of in the legal gray area. But yeah, I mean, this is like the beginning of a more sensible market structure for sure. I think volatility is cool for decentralized exchanges because that's where we get all our fees. And, you know, Coinbase's futures markets are, you know, people will use them to trade as like indicators to trade, but it's not going to directly result in fees for decentralized exchanges. So that's kind of the sad thing. It's not going to be like an infinite arb fest between Coinbase and Uniswap. Otherwise, you know, it's fine. I think it's probably good in the long run. In the short term, definitely it's like, you know, we want to keep volume spot so that our shitcoin dexes can go to the moon.
I see. That makes sense. So again, DeFi getting freaking burned again, dude. That's what I'm taking from that. We've also got this Binance. So we got Coinbase on the one hand. winning. I don't know. This is a massive propaganda effort, maybe. I don't know. But Coinbase seems to be doing quite well. Ripple's doing quite well in terms of its legal battles. Binance here is crying in pain, dude. Binance is saying you got to limit your investigation to us to like 4 employees. Anything beyond that means you're just fishing around looking for something to be wrong. which, I mean, fair point, right? You know, you don't want the cops shouldn't be able to just come in your house, just flip all your shit over. You know, you got to have like a warrant targeted. But at the same time, it's like, you know, what are you so afraid of? They just give your.
give just eat your the bugs. Answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, is that what you would say? Well, if someone came into your home and they were like, oh, if you're nothing to hide, then just show us. Would you just let them in your home and.
Well, if they were like, we think you stole a bunch of money. Can we see your bank accounts? I wouldn't be like, you can only see 3 of them. not that I want Binance to lose. I'm just saying, you know.
I mean, I think a supposedly compliant entity, like when you choose to be compliant and operate within a public sphere, you need to accept the reality that you will be held accountable. And that's what Binance is experiencing. So I think comparing, you know, if the FBI raids Corval's house, you know, I can't imagine Corval doing anything that affects anywhere near the people that Binance is capable of affecting, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I get maybe like, you know, he gave the world's greatest piece of advice on the Block Bytes podcast and the whole world became fabulously wealthy and now the government's out to get him. That's a potential...
yeah, you know, I go full Tate mode. I reveal the matrix to you, and that's coming eventually. I'm working up to it, guys. You know, just stick around on the show. You know,
yeah, I'm gonna keep referencing my tokenomics articles while I try to whip everybody into a singular mindset. But what we're seeing between Coinbase and Binance is literally Coinbase being on the legal side of the gray area, Binance being on the illegal side of the gray area, and now we're seeing. As regulatory capture happens and as that gray area tightens up, Binance, at least some of their business is getting their heels nibbled on. Whereas Coinbase is like, fuck you, I'm going to go harder now because they know they're in the right. So we're going to see that unfold again and again and again and again.
And, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Bibas is already in the matrix, clearly. He is living in... clouds right now. Binance US. Binance US. They didn't have a big win against the SEC though. A couple months ago, when the SEC tried to put that temporary restraining order and freeze all of their assets. Why do you guys fidget spin when I'm speaking? Is that a thing?
No, you're right though. Binance did have a win earlier on. But it does seem like the investigation and it's just a lot of bad press coming out for Binance recently.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure if it was, I was half joking when I said a propaganda effort, because a lot of these, another thing to keep in mind is a lot of these sources that are being pushed out, they're usually being pushed out with, these stories are being pushed out with the type of agenda. You see it on the bull side too. I saw an article talking about FIT coming out. Or like the FIT bill, which we talked about previously, made it through committee in Congress. That happened like 2 months ago, but they're talking about it again because they want to push a narrative. So someone wants to push a narrative specifically about the SEC and Binance, and they're trying to paint Binance in a more negative light.
All of these news outlets are pay to play, and all of like exchanges and VCs and whatever have stakes in all of them. You know, there are so many conflicts of interest in crypto in general. Like, you know, the ultimate freest market, of course, you'll have a bunch of kind of weird alignments. So really, like, I think Blockworks is cool, but at the end of the day, if it's a crypto news outlet or really, I mean, I don't want to be like the mainstream media sucks guy, but it's like, you can't make money being a media company anymore. So all you can do is like sell out and be like a PSYOP factory and make money that way. You know, and the only real news outlet is Block Bytes. And by the way, let me tell you about our sponsors.
By the way, Shimmer, O Foundation. but yeah, no, you're right. I think the transparency is important, though, is the big part. We wear it on our sleeves. But other than that, we'll give it to you on the reel all the time. I mean, we try to give it to you real about our sponsors as well. We're going to grill Beavis a little bit later, actually. But, yeah, I think regulatory-wise, we're seeing a lot of things starting to fall into place. One thing I saw that was interesting was someone was bringing up this guy, John Rizzo, how PayPal upended the crypto debate in Washington, D.C. And he brought up a really interesting point that the PayPal USD token launched at a very opportune time, especially politically, because since the FIT bill made it out of committee, right? There's a lot more political pressure in Congress to take a side on this thing. And PayPal is a very, very large factor in the equation of just the markets, right? Like PayPal is already regulated. It's regulated on a state-by-state basis. It's good on all those. So the federal government's ability to regulate PayPal's stablecoin directly is kind of limited, right? So it kind of narrows the focus of what the Congress members can talk about. Previously, they could have like tried to expand it some more, but now that PayPal's in the ring, you know, they've got a precedent they're already working with. So it's a little bit more difficult.
PayPal has really been kind of the low-key like ringer in the crypto corner. And they are like, they are the payment kings, you know? And to try to go up against them as Congress, like to try to discredit them, like, you know, it's kind of like in the political sphere, my word against yours. It's my opinion against yours. And there's like, you know, subject matter experts in Congress and, you know, in crypto, there aren't really that like, who are our subject matter experts? We have maybe Maxine Waters.
Was freaking Gary Gensler.
The guy with like the butter statue.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Ted Cruz. I don't know if he's a SME, but like, they really, really respect like size. They really respect pedigree. They really respect money, because you could be a dumbass but have a Harvard degree and have worked at XYZ firm, and you'll be treated like a god in that sphere. So, you know, PayPal is kind of at the pinnacle of payments, beyond your Venmo, beyond your whoever. They're the fintech company. So them stepping into the ring saying, hey, we're going to play the crypto game. Hey, stablecoins are dope. Hey, you know, this is us. There's potentially a lot to lose for a politician to go up against them, because they will be discredited. And especially for subject matter experts, like you're a subject matter and expert in Congress. Of course, there are some good ones, but the likelihood is you're not as much of an expert as an industry player, very rarely, because you also need to be a politics expert. So going up against PayPal for anybody is a huge career risk. It's a huge credibility risk. And really, it's an extremely strategic play on their part to just say, you know, here's our very clear support for digital assets, crypto assets, and the crypto industry. Now you guys can go on with it. And they know if they kind of impinge on anything PayPal is doing, they're going to be subject to the PayPal, you know, blast. Really cool on their part, in my opinion. I mean, we don't want to be captured by, you know, big fintech or whatever, but at the end of the day, we need bangers in our corner. Okay.
That's true. That is true. We don't want to be captured by big players. That does seem to be kind of the way it's moving. But I think that's also because of maybe not planned, but typically how these things will move because of regulatory capture, right? The big players are already kind of positioned. They've got the tools at hand.
And
also a big part of this.
Well, real quick, because of something really interesting to me about the PayPal and the PYUSD is that you know, PayPal's their father, the father company, the money transmission company, they are regulated state by state, right? So what does that mean for the federal government? You know, it's going to make it a lot harder for them to you know, it's going to be like on a case by case basis. They can't just like do some, the federal government can't just do some like sweeping.
Yeah. Because then all states all up their crawl. That's right. Either you're violating states' rights again, dude, you know? Anyway, that's a good point, Mikey. Another big part of this is, if you guys didn't know, PayPal has more active accounts than there are citizens of the United States. So I'm assuming that means there's a lot of Americans that use it. So that's a huge block of people who are users of a product. Maybe they're not big on PiUSD, but they probably don't see a problem with it, right? They're not getting burned by it. It's not like Comcast jacking up my prices, and they have the most customers. You know, it's just them providing another service I don't really care about at the worst. Yeah. So to litigate against them will be a lot more difficult.
What happens when businesses can settle transactions with PiUSD and use PiUSD as their bank account in exchange for reduced or minimized transaction fees?
Mm-hmm.
And all they need to do is fork over their T-bill yield, their short duration bond yield to PayPal. Mm-hmm. You know, we see how Tether's business operates, even at like, honestly, I mean, it's not a wimpy scale. It's a pretty massive scale, but
I think they're like the 10th or 13th largest owner of treasury bills in the world.
Yeah. You know, we can see PayPal match that or eclipse that if they were really, really sufficiently motivated. And, you know, everybody wants to get in the banking game. Everybody wants to replace, you know, the top 10. And PayPal has the usership and everything to do it. When Harry met...
That's what Emmett was saying. I think you look like Gandalf coming back from fighting the Balrog, dude. The point is that you're luminescent right now.
Thank you.
But you're like, if PayPal has the drive to do that, they can certainly overtake anybody they wanted to in this realm. But Corval, there is a little bit of pushback with the PayPal, right?
Let's hear it.
Well, you got something for me. No, I thought you were going to bring this next. I thought I was segueing into.
Oh, well, I was going to say, finally, on the PayPal issue, it's not all rosy, though, because they are being regulated. Not regulated. They're stopping crypto purchases in the UK until 2024. So for all of our British, Anglo,
no! Scottish,
Irish, Welsh viewers, I'm sorry, rest in peace. You cannot participate in the new world economy.
for almost 4 months, it's over. So low key.
I had this segment after this called Top Signal Thursday where I was going to say, we're looking good, right? We're so back, right? You know, all this regulation. But then, you know, I get back from my doctor's appointment. This is what I'm seeing, dude. So maybe we're not quite back. We took a big old dip, but, you know. Hey, it's not all over. It's not all over yet, baby. We can still come back. I'm not a big chart watcher, but you know,
that's the. I believe that pattern is called the Chad Fad.
The Chad Fad.
Yeah. If I recall correctly,
the Chad Fade, maybe.
No, the Chad Fad, or I guess because it went down after. But that's when it just goes up, and then it's like a staircase upwards.
Ooh. I like the sound of that.
That's the only technical pattern that I know, the Chad Fad. Mm-hmm. That's a classic 2020 ancient crypto.
I'm more familiar with the Bart analysis. Simpson. I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Okay. I also know the Bart. Yeah.
It seems a little bit too.
I know the cup and handle.
Yeah, dude. I never know what's the cup or what's the handle on that. And I never really know what it means. But I know it exists. I heard someone say three blind mice once as a chart pattern, and I Googled it for hours and I still could not find what that
That's the one like that's passed down from dad to dad as they gamble your college savings.
Some ancient trader techniques, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I guess we could still talk a little bit about this top signals, right? So, you know, we always say it's a top signal when things are looking a little too good, a little too nice. So I'm seeing a lot of articles recently that are like fintech in the front, DeFi in the back. Crypto's revolution is underway. I saw the New York Times also published an opinion article by one of their financial columnists who was saying crypto's here to stay, baby. So a lot of positivity now coming from mainstream news outlets, which makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, dude. Reminds me of them teaching you how to buy Ripple on MSNBC.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, I mean, I feel like once you learn about DeFi, it's like kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I can't pretend that journalists have any say in what they write. But you know, when you go down the DeFi rabbit hole, I feel like it's hard to not be into it. Oh, this is Decrypt. I thought this was like the Washington Post.
No, I had one from New York Times, Letter of a Young Crypto Enthusiast, or the Merely Curious. Yeah, this is the guy I was talking about. I was saying, look, this is you, Beavis on the bicycle. You know, you're a young man. You're riding the crypto train. You're right. It's not a passing fad. So positivity, dude.
Wow.
But this does make me feel a little cautious. Makes me feel like we might have hit a little top. And then, you know, crazy enough, the next day we dump 2 G's off of Bitcoin. So maybe I was onto something. But I got some more top for you. Coinbase giving out $120,000 worth of Bitcoin to WNBA players.
Wow.
Good for them. Good for them.
Good for them.
Or bad for them.
What was the impetus there?
I think Coinbase just sponsored them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
It just makes me a little anxious when I see crypto stuff in the news in a positive light. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I definitely, I mean, there are definitely like quants out there like counter trading news, like probably a million of them. So it is what it is, you know. I think overall we know we're in a pretty good spot industry wise. So I think the day to day, it just I can't even like, you know, bring myself to care. So
yeah, you just got to keep building, right? So you don't care about any of this crap, but do you care about this? Another meme coin on Base has been hit by an exploit. Another attack has hit the Base, dude. Can we get my little GIF thrown up here of my favorite there we go. Boom, there she goes. Another meme coin obliterated on Coinbase. Rocket Swap. But all boobs are safe and accounted for, so don't worry, guys. So we might be suffering a bit here. I'm kind of all over the place here, but I was thinking that it is like kind of like another top signal, all these meme coins evaporating.
I think I literally think, like, no joke, that it's just North Korea trying to play the Base chain beta to fund terrorism or nuclear weapons.
Oh, God, okay.
They use their crypto earnings for. But this is literally the Lazarus playbook. It's like, let's take the hypest, most exciting thing, and let's see how much money we can rug from people trying to like capitalize on it from the bottom end. And it's kind of like it's the same thing in a bunch of different ways. But, you know, none of us have access to like direct Base, like deal flow, Coinbase deal flow, whatever, Binance. We don't have access to that. You know, this is the shit that comes out with insane FDVs. You know, it's already been, you know, it's on their Series C or Series B by the time they launch a token. We normies, we just suck. We're like bugs. That's why we see like new native projects, new native launches generating so much excitement, because that's really the only way someone can get as close to direct exposure as possible to these big projects, these big chains, these big whatevers. And Lazarus, you know, learning from all of the successes here, are undoubtedly every new chain you see, a new project, the chances that it's just like some like North Korean engineer who social engineered like a couple of crypto dudes to be the front of the project and then just rug, that's going to happen again and again and again and again and again. It happened on BNB chain all the time. I think it's still probably happening. It's just like, this isn't, for the most part, this isn't just random people rugging. This is like the people who make rug projects, they make thousands of them, you know, and rug to the tune of tens of millions, hundreds of millions. you know, over the years, long time frame. So wow, it really sucks.
I wonder if is Lazarus hiring? Do they need like a project manager, social media manager or anything?
You need to have been like brainwashed for 10, 20, 30 years before you're allowed to be on Lazarus, and probably you're too old as well. So
you got to defect like
the North Korean government.
Yeah, you got to defect, man. You got to renounce your American citizenship and walk across the DMZ, arms up, pockets pulled out, you know, make sure that they know you're coming with peace in your heart.
Yeah, it's just like when you see, for example, Corval and anybody here, when you see someone in a Discord general chat asking for a job, posting their CV or whatever, that is almost always a North Korean social engineer trying to get internal admin access to your project so they can
run. Whoa.
It happened before with the something out.
No, it happens all the time. It's like it's not only happened before, it's happened like tens of times, hundreds of times. These people are like not lazy. You know, they have a mission and they go hard. So, you know, at this point, I mean, it's kind of the value. Yeah, it's the value of a firm like Byte Masons or Metacartel or whatever, where it's like, hey, you know, we're not North Korean. that's like one of our like biggest selling points. Hey, we're senior engineers who aren't agents from a sanctioned country trying to steal all your money and all your users' money, which is pretty dope.
Well, let's move along here to someone else who's trying to steal everyone's money. Actually, we got, who is it? This one? Yeah, there we go. 3AC founders OPNX. You know, they're back. They launched OPNX. The exchange isn't doing too great. When they launched, they only had $2 worth of trades, $2 worth of volume. Volume is still not too sexy. Where were we? All right, 24-hour volume.
The 3AC guys, obviously, we know Suzu and Kyle Davies.
Yeah, looking at $131,000 in trading volume in 24 hours. Not that hot, but somehow they already got fined for $2.7 million by Dubai for things like market manipulation, insider dealing, unlawful disclosure. Not looking good for them already. A little bit of schadenfreude maybe, huh, Beavis?
Yeah, wow. I mean, I guess this is like what you do when you're like the most disgraced financier in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. You just like, you know, try to run it back. Because what kind of skills do you think they have? Like, I bet they wouldn't even make it at like McDonald's, you know, or Costco or whatever the fuck. Like, yeah. You know, it's like you go from the absolute, you know, most spoiled, neurotic, psycho guy ever with hundreds of millions of dollars to, you know, you literally can't work in your industry or peripheral to your industry ever again. Mm-hmm. They're trying to run it back, you know, and thanks to crypto, there's kind of the freedom to do that. But, you know, those guys are just like boned. That really, like, you think like a place to trade bankruptcy claims for an embattled industry filled with distressed assets, you know, maybe it's a little on the nose, but at least it's like an interesting idea. It's like, oh, you know, there are probably a lot of those. And then you realize, like, you think about it for more than 20 seconds and you're like, who the fuck would do that in like a million years? Like, what is that worth? Like 1% of face value? Like, were they maybe hoping to manipulate the value of their bankruptcy claims, you know, to find some exit? Like,
oh damn,
they just need to like accept the reality that things will never ever be the same. They're not the big dog on campus. The big dog on campus right now, unfortunately, is like BlackRock, PayPal, whoever. And they're not going to let your like wimpy, you know, pump and dump shit fly.
Yeah.
You know, good riddance, to be honest. Hopefully they get fined more.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's great that like, you know, even Dubai, which is supposed to be like where you go.
Yeah, to how do you get fined by Dubai? Like how shitty? How shitty can you be?
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but that is like kind of crazy, right? Like
you go to Dubai the place to where escape. You're supposed to
get away with anything.
Dude, they probably hate their asses. Like Dubai, they're all crypto guys. Probably their whole Ministry of Finance is just like, man, fuck these guys. We're gonna figure out ways to find them.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I mean, I would not be a good politician. They shouldn't, you know, be targeting the 3AC guys, but they've just been like no remorse, no acceptance, like just absolutely ridiculous.
They're the Shkreli's of this whole space, you might say. Remorseless. Well, I did want to point out though, I'm not just trying to poo-poo all over them, you know. Well, maybe a little bit, but hey, their token's up only pretty much, right? That's kind of nice. I also saw this, you know, that token Bitcoin.
Harry Potter.
What is it? Harry Potter
Shiba Inu. Inu 10.
Yeah, so Sisyphus here was asking, what platforms can I short this token? Apparently you can short it on OPNX, so maybe that's why, what their use case is.
I mean, I think they just want to be the new FTX, the new, hey, we're going to list perps on the shittiest shit ever and just be the first ones to do it. And not care, which there's like, you know, there's PMF there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So good for them.
Something to that.
I think they just don't care if they go insolvent. It's just like, hey, we're going to take VC money. This is just going to be our job. We're going to do some stupid stuff. We're going to try to hide as much crime as we can. And then we'll go insolvent and move on to the next thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you just become disgraced financier as a service, you know. so they're just kind of leaning into it at this
point. I don't know, dude. I don't know how much further down you can go. I mean, I don't think the cartels would want to work with you anymore. Right? Be like, yeah. They want a guy who can do fraud good. Like, get away with it.
Do fraud well.
Yeah.
Like the three stooges of financial fraud. It's just you know, these are the guys that you know something's going on always, but you're just like, you know. Somebody's got to be doing the fraud. It may as well be these guys instead of competent actors. then we can just, you know, nip it in the bud when it gets out of hand.
They're like our seasonal villains. But speaking of naughty little boys in crypto, we got another one here, a favorite. Sam Bankman-Fried. We'd spend fucking like half the shows talking about this guy. But, you know, everyone was so upset. Oh, they threw out the charge on the campaign financing. Look, they put his ass back in jail, baby. He's back in prison. My league partner, my duo's partner, he's back in prison. It's a real shame for him. Kind of funny how he got here, though, in a very vindictive, kind of stupid way. So the reason his bail was revoked because he was accused of witness tampering, right? The judge said he kept going right up to the line and then crossing it repeatedly. This time, it's because he leaked his ex-girlfriend Caroline's diaries to the New York Times,
right?
And they've been publishing articles about it. It's a little dirty, dude. A little rude to do. He somehow thought this was going to help him, oh, it wasn't all my fault. But I think it's kind of fucked up to leak someone's personal diaries.
That's weird. Yeah,
you know, we got a nice little insight into how Caroline's mind was working, but. Interestingly enough, an anonymous tipster also leaked me Mikey's personal diary entries. And so I want to play a little game with you guys. I'm going to go through some quotes and I want you to tell me in the chat, Beavis, do you think it's Mikey or do you think it's Caroline? Mikey?
Who did what?
Your personal journal, your diary entries on your Google Doc. I got access to it.
No.
Someone emailed me a link last night.
So, those are my Google Docs.
Yeah, you've been Google Docs'd, bro. So we don't have the full thing from the New York Times. They just published their excerpts, but I got some of Mikey's full ones here, but let's see who's going to get some of these right. All right. So the first one here, I've been feeling pretty unhappy and overwhelmed with my job. At the end of the day, I can't wait to go home and turn off my phone and have a drink and get away from it all. Mikey.
Tell us Mikey.
I hate to say it, dude. That one was Caroline. That one's Caroline.
Oh,
interestingly
shit.
Enough, but I could see Mikey saying it. Mikey says that to me personally a lot. Here's another one. Someone asked me what my size is, and I did not answer.
Caroline?
No, that's Mikey. Mikey does not
like your name. I wrote that.
Yeah.
How'd you get these?
So I told you, the anonymous tipster. You gotta vet your friend group a little bit better.
these aren't on the show notes. I'm very confused.
So it doesn't really feel like there's an end in sight, and I'm worried about making things weird and causing drama.
That one has to be Mikey.
Nope, that's Caroline. That's Caroline.
Oh, damn. What the heck?
All right, next one here. I've got significantly decreased excitement about blank. Life at the company feels too associated with pain. Caroline or Mikey?
Jesus. Wow, I don't even want to know. Is that Caroline? Is that real?
Caroline, I feel bad for her.
Dude, what kind of outfit were they running there?
Well, maybe this
pure agony. That's maybe like stuff that I say ironically when I have a long day.
Oh yeah, Jesus,
in both
infinite darkness and agony. I had to perform 10 minutes of customer service today. My heart burns.
It was colder than usual this morning. I ripped a line of Vyvanse just to feel something.
Oh, that's Mikey for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Running blank doesn't feel like something I'm that comparatively advantaged at or well-suited to do.
Running
blank.
I mean, that has to be Caroline.
Yeah, that's Caroline. That's Caroline. That's Caroline.
Dude, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some pretty unfortunate stuff coming out. This is what I'm saying, dude. There's a lot of personal stuff in these, even in Mikey's, dude.
Dude, these people need to learn how to seek help. Like, seek help.
She was self-soothing here. She was writing a diary. I think that's a healthy way to process it. But, you know.
Yeah, but you're running. Yeah. You have more responsibility than you can handle. You need to seek help, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, dude, imagine if they had called the Enron bankruptcy guy, like, a year ago and just been like, hey, we'll give you $3 million a year to fix our shit, you know, or 2 years ago, however long ago.
All right. I got two more for you here. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not confident that I'm doing the right thing, but I'm not a fraud. I'm not a scammer. If I am, and I don't realize it, I think that's okay.
Jesus. That has to be Mikey.
Yeah, only someone like Mikey could be so depraved. Not even
that's him when he tells us about Shiba coin with a straight face.
The Shibarium.
Shibarium.
I'm sorry for insulting the Shibarium.
Would you do it?
Now this one. I just had an increasing dread of this day that was weighing on me. And now that it's actually happening, it just feels great to get it over with.
That has to be Mikey every Thursday.
You know, funnily enough, they both said it.
Wow.
They both wrote it word for word.
Bar for bar, man. Bar for bar.
Do you want to know something interesting?
Let's hear it.
I've actually, this bit that we're doing at the moment, I actually saw it in a show that I've been watching.
What's the show?
The show is called Big Bang Theory.
No way.
Yeah.
This is a bit on that show.
So I'm like Sheldon right now. Bazinga.
Yeah. No, actually you're Howard, which is the guy, the Jewish character.
Okay, that's cool. I've got no problem being Jewish. I don't know what you're getting at. No, I mean, I've never watched The Big Bang Theory. Do they have a live call-in feature or something?
No, like, they're
doing a radio show.
They just make fun of each other. That's the whole show, basically.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you being a good sport, Mikey. I appreciate you letting me read your diary on air in front of everybody.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I hope you guys appreciated that. I know Caroline probably didn't. So, you know, at the very least, he deserves to be in prison for being a bad ex-boyfriend, you know? Kind of petty, right?
Yeah, so are you, Carl. Mike.
He's allowed to be.
Yeah, it's my show, Mike. He's allowed to be. All right, let's get back into serious business here. SEI launched. You guys know about this?
Is it SEI or is it SEI? I've been saying SEI.
So I feel like technically I'm right in that you can spell something out, but they probably do call it SEI. So trading focused layer one blockchain backed by Jump Crypto and Flow Trader. So they got a lot of VC support here, SEI.
So they want to make a really high performance, high TPS on chain order book with low fees. Is basically
you're right. Yeah, dude, exactly.
Yeah, HFT firms have been trying to do. That's what Alameda was trying to do with Serum, and look how that turned out. Solana. This shit is just like the tech isn't ready. The tech simply isn't ready, and it's either you make like shitty trade-off decisions to try to force it, or you just wait for Ethereum to get better. So
interesting. So they're forcing it, is what I'm getting. Ten times faster than Solana. Finality in as little as 250 milliseconds.
Oh, wow! That sounds like something that'll work.
It's built on
Cosmos. Dude, I just invented a battery that has 100 times the power at 1/10 of the cost.
You're like Elon Musk.
I don't have it yet, but just give me a few billion dollars, and I'll make it for you. I swear. I have it perfectly designed in my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think this is picking up a little steam, actually. You know, I don't know if they're going to be able to live up to their promises here, 10 times faster than Solana, but I do like that it's built on Cosmos SDK. That seems like it'll be kind of facilitating that level of speed and cross-chain interoperability that everyone is so hot on right now. Mm-hmm. And for you degenerates, the trading volumes topped $1 billion in a day. I don't have the chart pulled up, but it's looking pretty nice. But what I really want to talk about is there tokenomics here a little bit. Bibas loves tokenomics. It's his specialty. They've got some interesting ones here. 48% is dedicated to the ecosystem reserve, 9% foundation, 20% for the team, launch pool, 3%, private sale, 20%. How do you, when you see that, Bibas, what is your initial reaction?
What's your initial feeling? I think that just looks so freaking dope. I think it just looks so awesome.
You heard it here, folks. SEI co-signed by Bibas. just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like there's, okay, they're going to do what every other chain does. They're going to have a big airdrop. They're going to have a high FTV. They're going to have fake governance. It's going to be VC governed, just as God intended. it just looks like a bunch of crap, which is awesome. Love it.
We love a bunch of crap for sure. Mikey, how do you feel about SEI? You gonna be using SEI?
What's that?
You gonna give SEI a try? SEI?
SEI, there you go.
SEI, SEI.
What about it?
Well, are you gonna give it a try? Do you like it? Do you like the way it looks? Are you interested in these extremely fast transaction speeds?
I'm probably not. I might try it. Probably won't though. You know, it is impressive that they managed to their native token topped $1 billion. You know, like that's super cool. But I'm probably not going to try it. I like to just stick with the chains that I know work, that I've been using for a long time. It takes a lot for me to venture out into new territories.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like any exchange on here, you're just going to get your lunch eaten by high-frequency trading firms, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're just going to be, like, you know, counter-trading you incessantly. Like, I mean, I would say, like, a big blocker for really well-managed on-chain AI trading or on-chain, you know, high-frequency trading is the cost and the throughput. And UniV3 does a pretty good job of emulating an order book. I think they have probably the best balance between efficiency and, you know, imitating that sort of spread. So, you know, I think high frequency traders are probably going to start like developing tooling for Uniswap. But at the end of the day, like your Jumps, your Wintermutes, all those guys, you know, your Jane Streets, they just want a normal order book. in a domain that is immutable and programmable like the blockchain, because it does add a lot of strength to your ability to create these high frequency trading algorithms. So yeah, I don't think it's for us really. There will probably be an airdrop, but otherwise, yeah.
And like Wally said, it looks too professional if you like Shibarium.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know how much money there is to be made. It seems like it'll be a useful tool, but like Beavis is saying, I'm kind of convinced now after Beavis said that it's probably just for, you know, the freaking pros and their big ivory towers on Wall Street. Yeah, and it sounds like you'll just get chopped to bits by, you know, high frequency traders. But hey, if you're feeling brave, give it a try. Stick to the chains that are for us, by us. Like optimism, dude, why not?
Yeah, and that sounds about right, Adam Callen. And the reason they're doing that is because, you know, they need fundamental growth so that people can convince themselves to buy it at this valuation. But on the other side of that, they legally need decentralization. So they need to be able to, when a judge evaluates their project, say, hey, look at all these people that hold say and that use the chain and that have money on the chain. It isn't just a VC fuckfest. So you're kind of, you are their legal strategy in that instance, Adam. But that's also par for the course with crypto. So I think we're all used to getting paid at this point to be someone else's legal strategy, which is honestly, you know, 1,000, you know, 10% instantly. I'd never scoff at that. But yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, that's just a lot of money, dude. That's a lot of money to be moving around for that, in my opinion. Ryan, I'd rather just buy $10,000 worth of SHIB.
I'd rather just bridge $10,000 to Shibarium. World of opportunity.
Yeah. The promised land, dude. So let's talk more about you, Beavis. We're kind of nearing the end of the show here. So I saw your muscling in on kind of my sphere here. So you shot a little video. You're trying to show people how to use your products all of a sudden. Let's talk about that, dude. The Oath V2 token migration. Yeah, let's just chat about it a bit, dude. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Is Oath V2 happening? If you remember all those weeks ago, the ancient history, the multi-chain debacle, The issue with multi-chain getting seized by the CCP and taken offline is it knocked out our bridge support. And, you know, we've spent the past several weeks working with XLR on setting up new bridges for Oath. And in order to totally cut off our exposure to the multi-chain stuff, we needed to migrate to a new token. If you go to oath.eco, if you're a user of the Oath token or have friends who are users of the Oath token, there's a button in the upper right that says Migrate Oath that will take you to the guide. And basically, if you're on Phantom, you don't need to do anything. If you're on Optimism, there's actually a two-way migration in case you want to take advantage of bonded Oath. And on every other chain, Arbitrum, Avalanche, Binance, Ethereum, Polygon, it's a one-way bridge to the new Oath. And to make your tokens bridgeable, all you need to do is migrate. And we're setting up liquidity pools for it today. And it should be a relatively painless journey, honestly. And I hope, you know, anybody who has Oath will head over to oath.eco, check out the guide. I did shoot a video. It wasn't as good as Corval's, unfortunately. You can see that in the Discord. So there's my PSA for the day.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, it takes a lot for me to, I'm a very like cautious person. I like to joke a lot about, you know, protocols and stuff, but I do tend to take a lot of care when it comes to, using newer protocols, newer chains, no matter what the TVL or how many people are using it, but I am definitely into optimism because of Beavis and the team at Block Masons and Ethos.
We definitely have gravitated toward optimism. Honestly, like, we're one of two seven-figure grant recipients on the network. So basically, we're just going to shift a lot of our focus there, really kind of reestablish our roots. And we've got some really cool, badass stuff. If I get a segment every week, next week is going to be a really freaking cool one.
Well, now you got to have one, dude. Now you got to have one.
So, yeah. Migrate your shit, guys. Migrate your shit. Cool.
I want to address a couple questions here. So Earth Angel says, when do we get the bridge out of Phantom? You can bridge out of Phantom, yeah. Right? Yeah, you can do it.
Squid Network has it, or squidrouter.com has it for you whenever you're ready.
So, yeah, so you don't even need to migrate before you bridge off of Phantom, right?
Yeah, you don't need to migrate. It's all, you can bridge already. So bridge from Phantom to anywhere. You don't need to do anything. It is canonical there.
So how about this one? Will Ethos positions need to be switched over to Ethos V2, or will they be unaffected when V2 comes out?
They'll be unaffected, but they will be on a separate platform. So Ethos V2 and Ethos V1 will coexist, and we'll be moving incentives over to the V2 platform, and we'll be using New Oath on the V2 platform as well. So definitely, once Ethos V2 is live, think about your migration plan to Ethos V2, but it's not urgent. Your position will still be valid. Your ERN will still be valid. And everything will just be extremely dope.
Okay. Nice. Nice. I had a question too, personally. Well, not a question. I guess I just want to clarify. So you need Oath V1 only to get both BOTH. Every other use case you have for Oath, you're going to need to just migrate to V2.
Yes. Right. And then once Ethos V2 is out in a month and a half or so, you can migrate your bonded Oath as well. And everything will be right in the world and will be fully migrated, and it will no longer be quite so confusing.
Fantastic. Okay. And then as we were talking about earned just briefly, I did notice this. I don't remember who brought it up to me, but on Retro, you know, we talked to Keela earlier. I saw that the cash earn APR was pretty tasty. Those are two stable coins paired together. So 36%, that's pretty fat, I think.
I brought that up. That was me.
It is quite fat. Was,
yeah. Not financial advice, but something to check out, especially if you're already on Retro. You know, keep your eyes open for that. I mean, I like stable yields. You know what I mean? Yields on stables.
Yeah, me too. That's all I do basically now is Oath LPs and stable yields. And I just keep it so simple. And I've been I don't even realize gains. I just lock into VE NFTs on Ramses and just vote for myself. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting all this APR. And then I just lock it up into an illiquid position and don't realize any of it. And then, you know, sometimes I sit down and I think about it. I'm like, wow, I'm retarded. But it's just like fun. If you remember me when I was talking about how DeFi is kind of fun again, that's kind of what I'm talking about. It's just you know, we're getting, it's like Cookie Clicker relaunched with Cookie Clicker V2. And that's where DeFi is at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. It is getting fun again, you know, where you're chasing all these like fun little ways to generate APR interest. John Steps, one other question. Will redemption fees from V1 and V2 be separate for both V1 and V2?
That's right. They will be. So you'll still get fees for minting and redeeming if you're on the V1 platform. Mm-hmm. Most of the fees and stuff, most of the good shit will be on V2. But also, John, you don't even need to sweat it because we're going to have a really cool bonded Oath vault and a bunch of cool real yield dynamics to go along with it that will probably plug into both V1 and V2. So it should be just so freaking extremely dope. You don't even have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. Also kind of sexy. Awesome. So we're at the end of the show here. I want to do a couple, just two more things. So we got a friend tech. You know, we talked about it recently. Goofy ass little thing, but Blockbytes is on friend tech now. We got three friend tech codes. I'm thinking about how I want to distribute these. Mikey, what do you think? You think I should just send one to the first three people who, I don't know.
Just slap them all into the comments section and first come, first serve.
Oh, yeah? You want to do that? You think that's a good idea? Let's do it. All right. Let's
That's a good idea. I didn't get one.
All right. Well, Mikey, be quick here. Be quick, that's okay. Mikey.
I don't want people shorting me anyways.
That's not an option yet.
It will be.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. I just smashed them all together. All right.
Let me see if this will work.
And the added complication is you need to parse them.
Yeah, you got to parse it too. Yeah, you got to run it through your program. Let's see. Will that work? Yeah, it gives you a little bit of a space there. And confusing. If you can solve the mystery, dude, of these.
I'm pacing. You can get on friend.tech, the ultimate social platform. Proving that crypto actually has users. So good job.
And social users at that. They want to talk to people.
Yeah.
Real quick, Corval, what is that? What is FriendTech real quick? And what are these codes?
Oh, yeah. FriendTech is a crypto social network where you buy shares of different people's profiles. And, you know, if you own shares, you can get into like a private chat with them, essentially. And you can send them three messages. And then until they respond, you just have to wait. But eventually they respond, you can send three more. So it's just like a way to talk to influencers for the most part, from what I can tell. And also kind of, I guess, bet on people's social capital.
Those are old school Super Nintendo cheat codes to,
And you need these friend tech codes to get in to friend tech, cause it's in beta right now. And if you are a real degen, you can check it out like this. You go to FriendMex, you can see all the trading happening on people's, different profiles, the buys.
You can see what you're worth. What people think about you.
Yeah, this is the, you're right, Mikey. This is the final evolution. We were stuck on likes and retweets and followers for so long, but now we can see how much people actually like you. So that's huge. One last thing too, also I wanted to do, you know, because I love Coca-Cola. I just wanted to bring this up. Coca-Cola launched another collection on Base. $450,000 aped in. And look at how dumb these look.
Oh my god.
Is that a face?
Dude, yeah, that's a painting. That's a Renaissance painting.
Yeah, they take famous paintings and then they overlay them over a Coca-Cola bottle.
That is really fucking stupid. What?
So you know I'm a whale in this, right? You know I go in most of these because I'm a big Coca-Cola head.
What's the utility?
The utility is there's like a very specific brand of autism. Where people are really into like brands from like the 50s, 60s, 70s. And a lot of those people somehow ended up with millions of dollars. And now Coca-Cola has once again proven
they're the masters.
They're the ultimate gods of every domain.
100%. They are the ultimate gods of every single domain, Coca-Cola. Do you remember when I was in middle school, so decades ago? A long time ago, there was a thing called it was a Coca-Cola game. Every time you got a Coca-Cola, there was like a code underneath the cap, and if you put it in on this website, it was like a Habbo hotel setup where you got like Coca-Cola points and you spend on Coca-Cola swag to decorate your virtual space. So yes, in fact, they are the gods of every domain. They invented the metaverse before anyone else.
I believe Mark Jeffrey actually invented the metaverse.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Well, host of Across the Chains is coming tomorrow.
Mark Jeffries might have invented the metaverse, but Coca-Cola perfected it.
That's true. All right. You've got me there.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Get the fuck shut up, Mikey. Time to die.
What are you talking about, dude? You don't even know what you're talking about. That's the worst part. Anyway, I going to say? Oh, yeah. Beavis coming back Thursday with some super top secret news he's going to talk about. Anything else you want to plug? Oath migrations, all that?
Oath migration. Make sure you migrate your Oath. Ethos.finance. Tell your friends. ERN is getting close to a dollar, finally, which means it's going to be freaking awesome. So
Oh yeah, I love that.
Oh yeah. Checks in.
So fantastic, Mikey. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, Vault. You guys remember Vault? That soda Vault.
Vault. Yeah.
Vault.
Oh, Vault, the Mountain Dew clone. Yes, I used to drink it, and it gave me diarrhea every day. Yeah. And I didn't know about caffeine when I was drinking it. Oh, I like didn't know what caffeine was.
I drank that at like 8 a.m. from the vending machine at my middle school, waiting for to start. And it was fantastic. I miss Vault.
To the middle school palate, Vault was maybe like the ultimate, like, gourmet delight.
Like slightly painful to drink, extremely sugary.
Yeah, then just real quick, Surge was good, but also muscadines are the superior fruit, and they are in season right now. So go to your local grocery store and buy some muscadines.
It's like a southern only thing, right? Anyway, we'll buy some muscadines. We'll try some Vault Cola. And yeah, I want to thank everyone for coming today. Beebus, Mikey, it's always fun to have you guys on the show. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Thanks for everyone tuning in, everyone in the chat. It's been a fun show. I loved it, dude. And I actually just found one last excerpt from a mystery diary. I actually don't know which one of you said this, Mikey or Caroline, but I had to share this. It's, I woke up naked in a room full of dorks again. Could be either. Could be either. Anyway, it wasn't me. Let's get out of here, guys. Adios.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.